our residents are experiencing involuntary displacement now. EPAP saw 2 years ago that our residents might be facing involuntary displacement and wanted to see if there was something as an advocacy group we could do to mitigate the impact on our residents. Now, Nick Sovey will share with you some of the work we have done in the Housing Subcommittee.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Nick Sovey with Rose Community Development, and I think you're going to hear some recurring themes of the work that we've been doing in housing, economic development, and civic engagement subcommittees, and we think these issues are connected. Each subcommittee has worked over the last 2 years on various displacement prevention tools and their applicability to East Portland conditions. We drafted a list of tools, and we prepared and distributed the list for comments. We had an anti-displacement workshop on August 15th that was attended by more than 200 people. They came and provided input, and those recommendations were incorporated into our proposal. EPAP continues to advocate for change and participate in coalitions such as Anti-Displacement PDX and Welcome Home. A January legislative town hall on housing was held in East Portland and had more than 500 attendees. EPAP needs the support of city council, city bureaus, and other partners to achieve our goal of revitalized neighborhoods without displacement. Here is a summary of our top priorities. Establish policy and practices that balances regional affordable housing supply and promotes fair share across Portland. The legislature just removed the statewide ban on inclusionary zoning. We need the city to move quickly to implement IZ and capture as many affordable units as we can before the end of the current building boom. Increase opportunities for minority homeownership. East Portland is relatively affordable and has the most diverse population in the city. More resources are necessary to make homeownership possible for moderate-income Portlanders. Community benefits agreement. We were pleased that the community benefits plan for the two new East Portland parks included a 25% local hiring goal for East Portland. We are concerned that other recent city investments, such as $40 million for mixed-use projects in Lentz, do not have strong community benefits requirements. Renter protections. EPAP believes that strong renter protections are necessary to prevent wholesale dislocation of disadvantaged groups that has been a recurring nightmare in Portland. These include rent stabilization, just cause eviction, code enforcement, and renter education. Anti-displacement impact analysis. This should be a requirement for all significant public investments. The planned Division Powell transit corridor would be a good place to start. The transit project delay provides time to develop resources and acquire property before speculation hits full force. Acquisition rehab. East Portland has a large quantity of rundown private market apartment buildings that could be acquired and preserved for affordable housing. EPAP is pleased that PHB and the mayor's budget recommends $1.5 million for acquisition rehab in East Portland this year. And then finally, homeowner retention. EPAP supports PHB's recommendation of $500,000 for home repairs for low-income homeowners. In regard to the last 2 points, EPAP especially appreciates that PHB intends to offer resources in East Portland outside of the urban renewal areas to serve areas that we haven't been able to serve before. We also appreciate PHB's increased engagement with EPAP over the last year. Michelle DePass has been a great addition to the Housing Subcommittee, has worked closely with us on research, outreach, and programming. So finally, thank you so much for the attention that the city is paying to East Portland housing issues. We look forward to working with you over the coming years to increase housing opportunities, improve housing stock, and revitalize our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Rita, did I hear that number right about the number of homeless students at David Douglas? 422, was that right?
420, and that was as of March 11th. basically with Title X, that's some funding we get for federal for homeless that they can get, like, if they live outside the district, because a homeless child can go to any school, and is transportation, et cetera, that they can receive besides some special assistance. And that's how we kind of count them when they apply, when they are identified and registered that way.
And by that definition of homeless, they could be sleeping in a car, sleeping, couch surfing, all kinds of different
all
ways of getting
kinds
by.
Of, yeah, right. Yeah, that's homeless and kind of has a broad definition.
Yeah.
But they are showing up to school. So they're identified through the school.
Right, they're identified through the school. Are they showing up every day? I can't tell you, but
probably
they are.
Not, but at least they made contact with the school. They wanted to be in school.
And what we're finding, we're as you know, with a lot of the information, there's a lot more newly homeless families, and they want to stay in school. Actually, Douglas is quite a popular place to stay because we work so hard with the low income and children of color, and they've had such great success in closing the achievement gap.
I think it's just fantastic that the school and the community is aware of and wanting to provide services to those students, and it's fantastic that they showed up at school and obviously want to continue their education. So thank you for the work that you do on the school board.
Well, that's how I kind of got into it, because I thought there was too much exempt property, and now I've learned so much more, and we've always felt stable housing is very important to our students. If we can keep them in the same school and not have the huge turnover rate we used to have, we can close that achievement gap.
Frida, you're one of the people that I like to cite, because you cite it yourself, that you came into this challenge clear about what the problem was and what the solution would be, and the more you learned, the more you realize it's really not that simple and that it takes all of us to engage, and there's a range of solutions to a range of problems rather than the one that you thought to start off with.
Yes, I take a lot of time at our school board meeting explaining housing and how complex it is, and but how important it is to our school board and our school district to help stabilize it.
Thank you very much. Thank you both.
So next speakers are Linda Bauer, Teresa Casey Soto, and Arlene Kimura.
Okay.
Hi, Linda Bauer. Teresa and I are on the East Portland Land Use and Transportation Committee, and one of the objectives for transportation is fully fund the East Portland in Motion strategies, and Commissioner Novick personally came out and helped us come up with this East Portland in Motion, and now we have sidewalks on 136th and sidewalks on 162nd and 17 signalized crossings, and we're expecting a lot more, and we're really excited, can hardly wait for more flashing beacon signs. Teresa?
Hello, buenas tardes. Hello, Mr. Salzman, Mr. Hales, Ms. Fritz, and Steve Novick. May you all be well. East Portland Action Plan and the East Portland Land Use and Transportation Committee continue to work with Metro, the City of Portland Bureau of Transportation, and the Oregon Department of Transportation to secure funding for the Outer Powell Conceptual Plan. As a member of the Outer Powell Safety Project, I am delighted that thanks to Ms. Fagan and Ms. Vega Peterson and others, $20 million have been secured for renovation of the streets from Southeast 116th to Southeast 136th. $3 million of this came from the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Thank you. EPAP advocated for this in the MITP grant and continues to look for every opportunity to highlight the importance of the Outer Powell Conceptual Plan and to secure additional funding. EPAP thanks ODOT for applying for TIGER funds in coordination with the city. The intent is to leverage funding that has already been secured for renovation on Southeast 120th to Southeast 136th, so that renovation may be done all the way from Southeast 116th to Southeast 162nd. Thank you, Mayor Hales and members of the City Council, for maintaining the Outer Powell Safety Project as a regional priority. Every day the traffic on Outer Southeast Powell increases. I am now taking the number 9 bus at the corner of Southeast 122nd and Southeast Powell Boulevard to avoid walking east on Powell to Southeast 125th Place where I live. This is a safety measure since there is less of a chance that I will get hit by a car by riding the bus those last 3 blocks. And I would like to be around when that project, the Outer Powell Safety Project, is finished.
So would we all.
East Portland Action Plan and the East Portland Land Use and Transportation Committee have advocated for and continue to advocate for the addition of cycle track or protected bike lanes to the Outer Powell Safety Project. The dialogue regarding the safety of those riding bicycles along Outer Southeast Powell Boulevard is an ongoing one with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, EPAP, and the East Portland Land Use and Transportation Committee. Some members of the Outer Powell Safety Project rode their bicycles from Ed Benedict Park to Southeast 174th and back at the beginning of 2015. They reported that it was a very scary experience and that they felt very vulnerable and unprotected. EPAP and East Portland Land Use and Transportation will continue to insist on protected bike lanes in the Outer Powell Safety Project design, and we look forward to your support. EPAP wants pedestrian projects prioritized in East Portland to increase crossing safety on major arterial roadways and to connect to transit and to schools. These need to be concurrent with new developments. Southeast 136 from Division to Holgate, close to where I live, now has sidewalks thanks to Shemaya Fagan. 17 crossings with rapid flashing beacons have already been installed in Southeast Portland, as Linda said. I cross from the east side of Southeast 122nd to the west side at a rapid flashing beacon pedestrian crossing to get to the Midland Library. Thanks to the installation of that crossing, I don't have to dodge cars while attempting to cross Southeast 122nd. EPAP wants 15 additional rapid flashing beacon pedestrian crossings and 15 intersection signal changes with red light cameras annually. EPAP will continue to advocate on behalf of residents and pedestrians in East Portland, the safety of pedestrians and their ability to get around Southeast Portland depends on the addition of more pedestrian crossings with the rapid flashing beacons and the intersection signal changes. Muchísimas gracias, and si se puede, and Arlene Kimura is next.
Thank you.
No, I need to finish up first.
Sorry.
Another of our priorities is fostering equity in transportation decisions and services. And I have some bad news for you. According to your Portland profile, East Portland is one quarter of the city, yet in 2015, we were not even in the top 10. I'm not even in the top 5 for individual funding on transportation issues. So that's something that we need to work on together. Thank you. Now, Arlene.
Thank you. First of all, I want to talk about parks, and I want to tell everybody thank you for the 2 new parks we are getting, and they will be online in 2017, and I hope to see construction starting at both Lewitt View and Gateway Discovery Park. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and thank you, rest of the council, because for our children and for our people who have no gathering spaces, these are really important resources. The strategic priorities for the East Portland Action Plan for parks has pretty much stayed the same, because we also know that some of these implementation, like transportation project, takes a few years. So we're still asking that the master plan process implementation for both Clatsop Butte and Park Lane move forward. And we are looking at maybe doing some of the things sectionally rather than doing everything at one time. And we are working on that. Metro has a Lava Dome East project, which they are doing in Gresham. There is absolutely no reason why, and we are working on it, we cannot conduct the city lava domes that we have, starting at Mount Tabor and Rocky Butte, and we are working with PBOT folks and Parks folks on trying to get that as a project that connects to and is part of the Gresham project. There, you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel on that. I think all of us are talking to each other, but it is kind of a slow process, and it is for bike and pedestrian connections within the city. Part of our issue is, in case of the big earthquake or the big natural disaster, it may be our only way of getting around because we won't have streets. And the other final piece that I want to talk about is that we are working very diligently on getting Gateway Green implemented, and they're working on their funding raising. And we're very excited that after all these years, we are really going to have events in the summer that are dedicated to bikes and maybe a few other things, such as maybe disc golf, so that the parcel of land becomes used and people get used to seeing that there will be activity on there. With the implementation of the T-hop and the 205 undercrossing, we will actually get better access from the west side to Gateway Green. As it currently exists, you have to go through the Transit Center or Maywood Park to even find it. So we want to thank you very much for your efforts, and I hope to be able to report more progress next year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank
you. Yep. Okay, who's next?
Well, since I've gotten my direction, and of course, I never follow directions very well either. like naughty children. Clatsop Butte, Kelly Butte, Powell Butte. There's also, what is it? Scouter Mountain. And all of those are buttes that we want to connect. We want people to be able to bike and ride to that. Our closing comment is that we want to thank you very much for all of the support you've given this past year for the action plan. And we look for your continued support. I think one of the exciting things is that the municipal partnerships have expanded to include a bureau that we have not worked in past with, but PPB and their driver education has been very exciting. When you look at the video, you look at all the ladies in their burkas, and you think, wow, they're actually learning how to drive. And they're not seeing that this is a foreign concept. They can do this. And some of our young men drive because they know how to get into a car and they really don't know how to drive according to the rules of the road. But these are kind of important issues that brings the community to feel that they're empowered. And I think that that's one of the things the action plan has done and done really well. I will say that I'm going to ask you again, as I always ask you, please remember that all city outreach, and I talked to the county about the same thing, we have people who don't speak English, and it is critical that they get some of this information. Please work with your bureau staff to push outreach in not just English. Thank you.
Thank you. Good point. Okay. Thank you all very much. Is there anyone else that wants to speak on either of these two items? Great presentation. So if not, then the first of these is an ordinance, and the second is a report. So let's take action on the ordinance first, which is the grants themselves.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'm going to make my comments on both right now. Thanks to the community. As a little aside, the 3.5 pages of the community impacts and community involvement statement that Laura Wintergreen wrote was one of the best I've ever seen. And I really appreciate, yes, of course, it's about community engagement, so you could have put, yes, it's about community engagement, but you went into the details of how people were engaged and how the different communities were engaged, and it's a model. I'm not suggesting to my colleagues that 3.5 pages is necessary on every item, but a little more than 3 sentences would be nice on many of the things that we consider here, and it's an example of what did the community say and how did we react to it, which used to be in the community impact statement and isn't anymore, and we're going to work on that. So thank you very much for the way this presentation was done and for the organization and everybody who's here to support and didn't necessarily need to speak. And thank you to the speakers as well. I'm continuing to be impressed and thrilled to be part of this process with East Portland Action Plan, your ability to accomplish a huge amount with very few dollars. I'll remind the council, this is a phenomenal return on investment of $300,000 a year. And this council put the funding into ongoing funding. The Office of Neighborhood Budget Advisory Committee didn't even talk about potentially giving a 5% cut to the East Portland Action Plan or to the we did discuss the Diverse Civic Leadership Program, which throughout the recession was held harmless. And once again, the entire Office of Neighborhood Involvement Budget Committee said no, both the East Portland Action Plan and the Diverse Civic Leadership Program need to be held harmless, and indeed we're going to try to find more funding for you. So it's a recognition by the entire community of the importance of the work that you're doing, and I really very much appreciate that. Looking at these grants, which is the first of these votes, over the last 3 years you've received a little over $200,000, and that is impressive, the amount of work that you've done and the amount that you're going to be doing with $48,503 that we're allocating today. I can't help but draw the comparison with the $2,315,274 that have gone into the Innovation Fund funding. And yes, there are things that the city government needs to do better, and we also need to learn lessons from what you have done in the community to make sure that there are the benefits and that there is the equity. As we move forward with budget discussions, I would like us, council, to continue to think carefully about distributing resources equitably to community partners. We're getting a lot of input right now on the Parks for New Portlanders program, and the programs that make a difference to people in the neighborhoods are what we heard about today, and I very much appreciate you bringing those to our attention. Thank you, Laura Wintergreen, for your amazing leadership of the East Portland Action Plan team. It's you are a city employee, and you are also very much an employee of the East Portland Action Plan team and our beloved, and we very much appreciated that you have been such an integral part of this, and are glad that you're going to continue to be working with us. Thanks to the council also for agreeing in partnership with the East Portland Action Plan folks who came to see us several months ago asking about a strategy for making sure that we continue to implement. And their suggestion was to hire an extra staff person who would work within city bureaus. My alternative, which the council has now agreed to, is that every council office will dedicate a staff member and that we will be responsible for the bureaus that we oversee. So the, Claire Adamczyk in my office will not only be looking at how are we implementing the East Portland Action Plan within the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, also within the Bureau of Portland Parks and Recreation. And each of my colleagues on the council has agreed to dedicate a person to do that. So we'll have a coordinating committee within City Hall that will work in partnership with you to let you know what we've done and sometimes what we can't do. That I agree with everything that's on your priority list, and you know, as Frida came to recognize the tension between housing and education, there isn't enough money to do everything, and so we do need to prioritize. Sometimes we need to do things in phases, and sometimes we all have to say, we are so mad that we can't do this just yet. And maybe at that point we need to think about how do we raise the resources in order to be able to pay for the services that every community needs, every community wants, and every community in Portland deserves. Thank you so much for the work that you do. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you for a great report, both on the grants as well as the state of East Portland. So I guess that's what we call it. It looks very good, and I appreciate all the hard work that all of you do in serving on the committees and the tireless amount of energy and time that you devote to your passion, which is making East Portland better. I'm pleased to associate myself with that effort. Aye.
Just three quick things I wanted to mention. One, Commissioner Fritz already kind of mentioned this, but Arlene was talking about the importance of outreach to all communities, and Andrea Valderrama on my staff, who's my East Portland outreach person, has also been working with PBOT and other bureaus to improve the level of outreach to all communities in all languages. So that's an important reminder for all of us. Teresa was talking about the funds that Shamia Fagan and Jessica Fager-Peterson have gotten for important safety improvements in East Portland. I'm very sad that neither of them is running for re-election. We need to make sure that whoever takes their place gets a, at least one of them gets appointed to the transportation committee, and that they continue. We need to hope they continue to be strong advocates for East Portland and transportation projects in the legislature. And finally, I think Linda was talking about having the sidewalks at 136th, and this, I decided to take this opportunity to tell a story I tell a lot, which is I went to walk along a stretch of new sidewalk, and I encountered a woman who was sort of hanging out at her back fence, and we were talking to her about the new sidewalk, and she said, you know, since the sidewalk went in, there's people who I hadn't seen for years, and I thought they were dead, and then I find them walking by my house on the sidewalk. And that, to me, is kind of a dramatic example of what a difference a sidewalk can make. So I'm doing what Commissioner Fritz did and making my comments on both items, on the first item, but I just wanted to say thank you all for your work. I also, one final thing. I'm so grateful that everybody worked so long and hard on East Portland in Motion before I got here, because it means, for example, that when we go out to the voters and ask for investments in transportation in East Portland, as we're doing in May, we can present them with a list of things that we want to do that have been thoroughly vetted through the community, that we can say these really are community priorities. Aye.
Commissioner Fritz, did you, in your comments, mention Commissioner Leonard's role, as you often do?
I didn't know. It's one of the few things I missed from my long comments.
Because you've often mentioned that he had a role, and Senator Merkley, then I guess Representative Merkley, had a role in this. So we acknowledge both of them. I saw Commissioner Leonard the other day, and he's finally finished renovating his new home. So my sense is he's getting ready to transition back into the normal world. Is this the seventh year that we've had a report like this? I'm losing track of time.
Yeah, it would be.
Is this our sixth? So this is the sixth year, and I, as Amanda and I have often reflected, when we both came on the council, the conversation we often had when we visited friends in East Portland was still very much, we're forgotten. We don't have a voice. No one cares what's going on out here. And that was pervasive in neighborhood associations, business districts, and in talking to folks. And what I've observed in my time on the council is that this process of the East Portland Action Plan created a framework for us to have these discussions and then to go beyond good intentions but get very specific about what we were committing to. And I really appreciate that under Mayor Hales, we shifted the funding to ongoing. Because this is one that it always felt like a perils of Pauline trying to get the money, and now it's established. But I also appreciate that it has focused like a laser beam our work together on what we should be accomplishing in East Portland. And when I had housing and parks, I always felt like about 2/3 of what was in this report were focused at my two bureaus. Now they're in the able hands of two of my colleagues. And I just want to address one item that's in the plan, and that is the work that we're going to do to acquire, restore, and develop brownfield sites. And as the mayor knows, a brownfield remediation is a central part of our economic development plan going forward. And if we're going to hit our industrial land quota and our comp plan goals, we're going to have to do a lot of work with brownfields. Brownfields are incredibly complicated and difficult. And because I lead the Bureau of Environmental Services, we have, you know, projects here and there. Well, the one that we've just almost completed is actually now in East Portland. It's the old Schultz property, where in Gateway, the Schultz family actually used to store the porta potties there. And it's a quite a challenging project, and we're not out of the woods yet. And thanks to my friend Steve Novick, we're now actually talking about potentially making some additional tweaks so that we can maximize the development of this site. But this work on brownfields is our future. We don't have a lot of land, and so we need to get brownfields into productive use. And it's a critical part of our equity agenda because there's so many brownfields in places that have not received the level of services they've deserved in the past. So it's a twofer. And I know it's going to be difficult. The legislature gave us an extra tool, I think, this session. And they're continuing to look for innovative ways to help us do financing. But I'm very excited about taking the community desire to do that work and the city expertise. We're going to have to blow it up and do it on a much bigger scale. But it is our future. And let's be the city that leads the nation in brownfield remediation. I mean, that'd be nice, another green credential. Thanks to everybody who came out today and testified, particularly young people, and thank you to the whole leadership team for the work you're doing, and you have focused our attention once again, and here we are at the head of the stretch on the budget. So you'll hold us accountable, as you always do. Thank you very much. Aye.
You know, every time I interact with the East Portland Action Plan effort, and I thought this again today, just listening to your presentation, I keep returning to the word leverage, because, for example, with these grants, you leverage an awful lot of public outreach, public service, public understanding for a really shockingly small amount of money. But you leverage more than that. You leverage the active engagement of the bureaus, as we heard about today from Sergeant Volpel and from Todd, and we should have that kind of leverage with all the bureaus. And obviously, it makes them do a better job at what they're trying to do. It allows them to do a better job. It also makes sure that they're thinking about and being accountable to the needs of the very diverse communities of East Portland. So that's another example of leverage. Another one that, two more that really I want to mention. One is politics. You're engaging people as political actors to have influence. And that's important. And it's important for East Portland. It's important for everybody. It's important for all the various communities of our city that wonder if it's really true that if you get involved that you can have a say and that you can have any power, and you're helping people learn that they actually do. And that's really important, as we welcome a lot of new Portlanders to Portland from all kinds of cultures and all kinds of places, some of which don't have functioning politics where people can make a difference. So that's really important. And then another one is that you're leveraging civic entrepreneurship. You're teaching folks, some of whom we heard from today, by experience, how to get some help from the bureau here and from the county there and from some business people there, to advance good ideas. And that's sort of a school for civic activism that EPAP has been from the beginning. And that's really important. So the leverage principle seems to me to run through everything that you're doing. And it also, you know, it also puts pressure on us. You know, Archimedes said, give me a lever and I can move the world. So that's what you're doing. You're moving the world with that leverage. And I just so appreciate how that's working on all those different levels. And that's why it is important that we as a council have now institutionalized the city's support for EPAP in our budget, but not just in the budget, but in the fact that you've got a sergeant from the traffic division here who's a believer in working with you to reach people to be better citizens and how they exercise the privilege of driving on our streets. You've got an economic development effort that is now committed to working with you, and that's taught the Portland Development Commission how to get things done, not just in East Portland, but especially in East Portland. So it's a tremendously valuable effort. I've learned a lot from you in this work together. We'll continue to, because I think it's extremely valuable to us as a city. So thank you for, once again, a great presentation. Again, I think for each of us and for the staff in our offices, like Andrea and like Diana Nunez in my office, they learn a lot. They teach the rest of our team in my office, hey, this is what's happening, and this is how EPAP's making it happen. So you've got five fans here, five allies. And again, what happens with leverage, if someone invests in your business or your political campaign, who do you go back to? You go back to those same people and say, okay, you're my partner. I need you to help me do the next thing. So I know you will. That's the other thing about EPAP, is you're never shy about asking for our support and engagement. So please keep that up as well. And well done. Very well done. This is a thrill to see the work that you're doing and progress that you're making and the people that you're engaging in this work. Aye. And now a motion, please, to accept the report.
Second.
Roll call, please.
I really love it when we have two things to vote on, especially when I'm the first to make my speech, because when everybody says other things, I think, oh, yes, I needed to add on to that, so now I get to. It's delightful to me, and I hope you can hear the sincerity in our voices, that you now have five new best friends, and we're all, except we're not new best friends, but we're your friends that you and your colleagues and your elected representatives who are working in partnership with you, and we have been since 2009. And so I get kind of angry when people say, you know, oh, nobody's listening to East Portland, or East Portland is still getting short shrift. When you look at the investments, particularly in parks, and it's actually before 2009, in the last 10 years, the majority of system development charge investments have been in East Portland. We're starting to see those facilities actually come online, and we will continue directing. I will continue directing resources to East Portland as long as I'm the Parks Commissioner, because we have a lot of catching up to do. We need to close the gaps, and we need to maintain what we have, and it's not one or the other, it's both, and we need to do both. And so I appreciate having the opportunity to work for you, and for you and with you. I appreciate working with my colleagues, and for those who are concerned that without district representation, we don't have leaders who care about different parts of the city, I disagree with that emphatically, and I hope that with the civic engagement, with the citizenship program that the Bhutanese community is engaging in such, that we start seeing greater numbers of East Portlanders participating, voting, and becoming the go-to community for candidates who haven't had the privilege of working with you to get to this point. So that's important. The other, it's your success. It's not our success or the city's success. It's yours. And so when people say East Portland isn't getting what it needs, my answer is you should go to visit the East Portland Action Plan and ask them, do they feel that they are making a big difference? And the answer is absolutely yes. So thank you for that. Also need to say thank you to Claire Adamsick on my staff, and Brian Hoop, Amy Archer, and Amalia Alcon Damaris in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. It's now election year again, and I recalled back in 2012, I was concerned that I might not be here at this time, and so that was the reason that I worked with you to put the special appropriation of East Portland Action Plan into the Office of Neighborhood Involvement so it would be kind of sheltered and looked after. And then Mayor Hales decided he wanted to be in charge of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and that was a privilege to be with the mayor, and the mayor had felt it a privilege to work with you. I'm now so grateful that I've been given the honor by Mayor Hales of being back in charge of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, working with all of our colleagues on the council as well as with you. I think we're in a really good place, and it's to your credit. Aye.
Nish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I too am glad we get to vote twice, because it gives you an opportunity to make an utterly silly and irrelevant comment, which is that the Division Midway Alliance remains one of my favorite organizational names in Portland, because it sounds like the people who won the Second World War.
Hales.
I'm sure they did. Thank you all very much. Aye, and we're adjourned.
We have a mayor. Mayor,
oh, no, we're not. No, we're not. We're not adjourned. Sorry. We have to take a motion. We're not adjourned. We're back in order because we have to take a motion that per city code 3.02010 for an evening council meeting to occur. The city council will be holding a 6 p.m. meeting for the comprehensive plan on April 14th in the auditorium of the Portland building. Do I have a second?
So moved.
Second. It's a roll call, please.
So this gives everybody notice that we are holding an evening meeting. Colleagues, in the future, I really appreciate everybody took time off work and their daily business to come in today, and somebody came out of school. Thank you. In the future, maybe I should think about scheduling an East Portland Action Plan report in the evening as well. But thank you for doing the comprehensive plan at that point. Aye.
Yes. Mayor, point of order. Does this need a majority or a unanimous vote?
Well, I think it needs a majority.
I have a budget ask. I have an orphan budget ask. I was going to try to work. Right. Aye.
Saltzman?
So, yeah, I believe we already have the meeting scheduled. We're just moving it to the auditorium in the Portland building. Yes.
Well, it's just a formality in order for it to be a city Portland meeting.
Anyway, happy to vote aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
So we did it very swiftly, just for anyone that's listening or is wondering what on earth is going on. We're going to have our meeting on April 14th in the evening. It's going to be at 6 o'clock. Don't show up here at 2 o'clock for that meeting. And it's not going to be in this building. It's going to be next door in the Portland building in the auditorium, because there's a group having a party in this building, and they're going to be noisier than we are. Yeah. So 6 p.m. on the 14th. Thank you very much, and now we're adjourned.
Well done. Good catch.
Yeah.